The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
ARA US Hospitality Trust. Mm. They launched an initial public offering in Singapore yesterday evening to raise about $451 million.
Yeah, the first new main board listing on the SGX this year. The trust owns a portfolio of 38 Hyatt hotels in the US. It has set an offer price of 88 cents a piece. And ahead of that launch of the public portion, ARA has already locked down commitments for $116.5 million worth of shares on offer from six cornerstone investors.
Interesting. Well, to tell us more this morning in the hot seat is Jin Lee, CEO at ARA US Hospitality Trust. Jin, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Elliot.
Good to see you, Jin.
Before we get into the details, Jin, give us an idea of your background. Now, I understand you joined ARA about 5 months ago. So that's quite recent, and it's to lead this U.S. Hospitality Trust. But you actually started your real estate career in San Francisco, and we're talking 25 years ago?
A little bit over that, but yes.
Not to give away your age. Tell us a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, so I'm actually Korean by descent, and I'm an American. I've grown up in America. I've educated in hotel management. I actually went to Cornell University's hotel school.
Oh, they have a very good program there.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. And I basically have been in the hospitality industry all my life, from working in hotels to actually making beds and cooking and cleaning, as well as working for the brands. So I worked for Marriott International doing business development. And then I moved into private equity about 15 years ago, specializing in hotel investments. So I've bought about $3.5 billion worth of hotels in my career. And I joined ARA first as an advisor, helping them understand the hotel opportunities in the U.S., and then when we closed on the portfolio, I joined them in an official capacity.
What's special about ARA? What attracted you to them, and what is their value add, if I can put it that way?
All right. Well, I think for ARA and myself, I think the word is alignment. It's alignment of the way we go about things. And so for ARA, you know, as I think most Singaporeans know, it's a global integrated real assets fund manager, and have really been a pioneer in REITs management. Hmm. And as you know, we've got 5 listed REITs here in Singapore and Hong Kong. It's the pursuit of, you know, finding the right strategies, the right fit, doing what's right. Our boss, John Lim, really emphasizes integrity and really doing what's best. And the philosophy of being in country, finding local experts to run those types of properties, and having a real concentration in doing very well in the specific real estate assets and categories that we do invest in, that's really an alignment that matches mine, because we're marrying expertise, commitment, and on-the-ground presence.
IPO on SGX yesterday evening. I want to find out a little bit more about this. Entry into the U.S. follows ARA's ventures into Europe and Japan in the past 18 months. I mean, these involve Australia's Cromwell Property Group. We're also talking about the Japanese real estate firm, Kendix. Would it be fair to describe this as final piece in the puzzle for ARA's global expansion plans? Any chance you could share more?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a final piece, but I would say that
so there's more. Yeah,
for us, and specifically for the U.S., this is the start of a platform. So when we looked at the opportunities in the U.S. and real estate asset classes, the other major types are all trading at very, very low cap rates. So that's what's really interesting here, is we found a very unique niche in the hospitality business, which provides attractive yields and other forms of real estate.
Right.
Yet this specific class of hotels, select service, are the most resilient and durable. So we thought they would be perfect for a REIT listing.
Well, let's talk about that. What exactly is in the portfolio, 38 hotels in the U.S.? How diversified is it? Give us a bit of background about what that portfolio looks like.
Right. So the 38 hotels in the U.S. are spread across 21 states. It represents about 5,000 rooms.
Okay.
And they're all branded Hyatt. So they're under the Hyatt Select Service categories of Hyatt Place and Hyatt House. Hyatt Place being more your straightforward business traveler-oriented hotel, and Hyatt House being what we call extended stay. So longer-term stays, similar to service apartments here in Asia, except leased as a hotel.
Okay.
And both are extremely attractive and have been growing. I mean, select service in the U.S. has been the highest growing segment within the hospitality industry. Over the last 20 years, it's grown 3 times the pace of the national average.
Where are these hotels located? Is it a domestic audience, an international audience? Who's staying?
The hotels are really oriented towards the domestic traveler. So We're located in...
Domestic U.S. travel.
Domestic U.S. travel, yes. I'm sorry, I'm an American, so I think domestic as an American. Yes, for the U.S. business traveler.
Sure.
And it's really oriented towards what we call the road warriors in the U.S.
Mm.
So people who travel over 100 days a year.
That's a pretty consistent business, right?
It's a very, very consistent business, and that's why we really like it. So we're not in gateway cities, but we're more in smaller cities and have a suburban profile.
Uh-huh.
So cities like Nashville, Denver, Memphis, those types of cities, and it's over 21 states. And what we do in those locations is we're kind of at the intersection of a lot of business traffic, right? So we're in very diversified markets where there's strong business demand. But what we found out with select service hotels, because they do offer such a good value proposition, they're also very popular on weekends with leisure travelers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when families are paying out of their own pocket, they're able to stay at our hotels at a very attractive price. It's a clean, modern hotel. And we have complimentary breakfast. So it's a very good value for the leisure customers.
You mentioned some other cities like Boise and places like that that maybe a lot of listeners wouldn't think to go to necessarily from Singapore or from Asia. But these are very vibrant cities in the U.S. or Denver, places like that.
Correct. So we recognize that we're in a lot of cities that most Singaporeans won't recognize. But in the U.S., it's a very broad country and there are a lot of businesses. And these hotels have been set up in specific locations where there is that high cross-section of both business travel as well as leisure travel.
Yep.
Jin, you mentioned earlier on quite a number of times select service hotel segment. Is there any chance you could give us a little bit of context to that? What exactly is select service?
Sure. Select service is really kind of a hybrid category. So okay. I think most Singaporeans are familiar with full service hotels.
Sure.
And then at the other end of the spectrum, people I think are familiar with just limited service budget quality hotels.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So select service, as the name implies, selectively offers certain services, but then also does not. So,
okay.
And what's key here is select services were designed with that business traveler in mind.
Okay.
And so what most business travelers want to do is when they come into a hotel, they want a clean, efficient room, a good shower, a comfortable bed, and then breakfast in the morning.
Sure.
And then carry on with their day. And the U.S. traveler usually goes outside and visits clients.
Mm.
So what they don't do is eat in the hotel for three meals. They don't use all the function and banquet facilities and all the other amenities. By not having to pay for all those extra services and amenities, select service hotels can offer a very attractive price point.
Yeah.
And then really what the focus is eliminating a lot of the unused food and beverage. Food and beverage is actually very costly to deliver and provides one of the lowest profit margins in the hotel business, whereas rooms is very highly profitable. So by concentrating on what's profitable and selectively only offering what people are looking for in terms of food and beverage at a hotel, breakfast, and then an evening cocktail.
Sure.
That's why it's called select service as opposed to full service, but it focuses in on what the customer needs and wants. But then there's a couple of things that happen with it. Because these products have really started in the U.S. about 30 years ago and have really accelerated and caught on for the last 20 years, that's why I said the growth has been tremendous.
Mm.
So our portfolio, for instance, runs an average occupancy of 77% versus the national average of 66%. So we've got a high premium because it's customer preference for this type of property. And then because we concentrate in the profitable segments of the hotel business, select service hotels also have a very distinct feature of having the highest profit margins.
Mm.
Those high profit margins are really what's attractive about our hotels and why we thought it was particularly attractive as a REIT. Not only the margins are high, but they're also very resilient.
Right.
Because in a downturn, because everyone's always worried about what happens when business volumes fluctuate.
Yeah, yeah.
In a downturn, our labor is able to flex. So labor is actually the single most largest factor in the cost side of hotels. Of running hotels, you always have to manage labor, particularly in the U.S. because it's a very expensive labor market. Mm. So by select service hotels minimizing the labor, our labor component is half of what normal full-service hotels have. We're able to flex and preserve those margins, therefore profitability in those hotels.
So I see the sense there's a very function-focused type of thing, a high end of a service apartment with, you know, like the clean room, everything's all cleaned up for you.
Yep.
Plus, you know, it's functional when you have business. You have to have an evening cocktail.
Absolutely.
That just stood out for me, sorry.
in the hot seat with us this morning on Money FM, Jin Lee, who's the CEO of ARA, U.S. Hospitality Trust. These factors that you mentioned, obviously part of your strategy for the IPO yesterday. And this gives some good market indicators to potential investors, right, that your REIT is resilient no matter what's happening. Of course, the U.S. economy is going quite well right now at the moment. So, you know, there's a lot of different factors. You talk about labor costs and things like that. But you're offering a product that is, whether it's a weekday or a weekend traveler, seems to resonate in the U.S.
Correct. In the U.S., select service hotels really are that category where, again, the growth has been the strongest. Mm-hmm. And they're really cash cows. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically, I think, for the REIT investor, what you're looking for is predictable, strong distribution yields. And we believe that select service hotels are best suited to provide that. Mm-hmm. And because of those, that the high demand there, really thick profit margins that are offered in our hotels. So our NPI margins for our hotels average 30%. So let me give to you in some sort of context. In GFC in 2009, which was generationally bad recession, right? So
yeah, sure.
If you take that as just a benchmark, our portfolio was still profitable. I mean, it went down. Mm. Our revenue, so what we call RevPAR in the hotel industry, our RevPAR went down about 16%. And our NPI, our net profits, went down about 33%. So that 33% accounted for still a 23% profit margin for our hotels.
Wow.
That's in contrast to typically full-service hotels, which I think in the statistics I saw that said in 2009, instead of our 16%, they went close down to 25%. And then you can imagine what happens to your profit margins when you have a larger fixed cost structure. And so that's why we think that durability is so important here and so important for the investor to understand. Yes, the select service hotels are not prevalent here in Asia. We think that it'll continue to grow as people understand the overall profitability. Certainly the brands have been behind it.
Even in Singapore, mm-hmm. in the last 3 or 4 years, I've noticed a number of hotels that I believe fit in that category.
Correct.
Getting away from the five and the four or five six-star hotels into these, like Holiday Inn, for example, is one brand that comes
Correct.
To mind that's now entered into Singapore in recent years. And that seems to fit into that sort of model that you're talking about.
Well, it's, I would let me correct you on that just a little
sure.
bit.
Yeah, please.
It's Holiday Inn Express, which
okay.
is their exactly. select service model. Right. Yes. Holiday Inn Express has also been growing rapidly in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
because it also offers that select service feature. So the profit margins are strong, in contrast to Holiday Inn, which is a full service mid-scale brand.
Right. But I have seen not only that brand, but others have come into Singapore.
Correct. Yeah. There is a Courtyard here in Singapore
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, Courtyard as well. Yes. Yeah.
Jin, we heard from the Bank of England last night, and the day before the Fed came out to take a bit of a dovish view. What is your take on the interest rate environment, and in your opinion, how is it going to affect your sector?
I'm not an economist,
sure.
but I think the Fed, when they pivoted in January,
yeah.
and they became much more dovish and accommodative.
Yeah, from then they started,
correct.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. And then I think that's caused overall interest rates to decline,
sure.
which has been very favorable for real estate. I
mm-hmm.
mean, that's the big risk for real estate in general is rising interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So what we see in the U.S. is that interest rates look like they're going to be in check for quite a while.
Okay.
Because what the Fed was interested in doing was keeping control of inflation.
Sure.
And the inflation has actually been fairly tame. That's why businesses continue to grow very strongly. And, the U.S. is forecasted to still continue to grow, at around 2 to 2.5%. I think Q1 lodged a 3.2% growth. So it surprised everyone a little bit because it's been robust.
Yeah.
But everyone is aware that it's expected to be steady and pretty strong. And then I think the other statistic I saw the other day, though, was, a 2 to 2.2% for 2009.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually number one amongst all the G7 economies.
Mm.
So, and by far, too, because most of the G7s are between 1 and 1.5%.
With regard to, moving forward for the trust, what are the plans, Jin?
Our focus really is, I've hired a team of other hotel specialists.
So okay.
people similar to me that have degrees in hotel management, that have actual experience in investing in hotels and asset managing hotels.
Okay. Okay.
So we're really focused on optimizing our portfolio. So we're focused on revenue management. We're focused on maintaining our efficient cost structure. And then what we'll do is selectively grow and expand our portfolio. We'll diversify more in the southern U.S. states, which have been the fastest growing GDPs,
okay.
as well as the West Coast, where we're not as well represented. So what we intend to do is create a better diversified portfolio where we have representation throughout the U.S.
Right.
And then we'll also do it by expanding our brand relationships with not only with Hyatt, but with also the other top two tier brands, which are Marriott and Hilton.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, are you going to stay with Hyatt? But it sounds like you'll...
We have a great relationship with Hyatt. We're very happy with Hyatt. And one of the reasons why our portfolio is doing so well is because they have the halo of Hyatt. We think that the other select service brands within the Marriott family and the Hilton family, which are all also very institutional quality brands, will also help us further expand our footprint in the U.S.
Do the investors in Singapore and across Asia get the difference in what you're trying to do and with the select brand and select category and, you know, why that could be a potential value to them?
Yes, sir.
Well, do they understand the story?
Yeah, well, thank you. And I'm trying to emphasize that story. Ultimately, it goes back down to cash cows. We're finding the opportunities that may not necessarily be the most glamorous. They're not luxury hotels.
Right.
They're not in
the big names,
the gateway markets or anything like that. But these are steady hotel operations that generate a lot of cash.
That make money.
Yes. And we're interested ultimately in making money. And I hope our investors are also interested in that as well.
It's very focused function. I get where you're coming from. Yeah. This morning in the hot seat, Jin Lee, CEO at ARA US Hospitality Trust. Jin, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
I wish you a happy weekend ahead.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.